You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Now we can make that difference. A lot of great
around. This is the Gaffer and Hooligan Podcast. Discussions, debates, and opinions on Major League Soccer and the CONCACAF region from a Canadian perspective. Hosted by Kamal Hilton.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Gaffer and Hooligan. Available on Red Nation Online, War Room Sports Podcast Network, and FastRadio.com. I'm your host, Kamal Hilton, joined by my co-host, Aaron Nielsen. How's it going, Aaron?
Good, Kamal.
And on this edition of the podcast, because MLS is... regular season is winding down and we're getting into the crunch time of the playoffs coming up.
Yeah.
Kind of wanted to touch base on how things are looking at the moment and, you know, what some teams need to do in order to get across the red line.
Yeah.
Or what some teams need to avoid to do in order to slip down or not to slip down, rather. So... we just wanted to kind of take stock of the season because we've been doing so many pods.
Our pod, you know, our goal of our pod is to be MLS related, but we've been very MLS related. And hardly, like, we did a lot of preview podcasts regarding the MLS and a lot of introduction podcasts regarding the MLS, but we kind of put it on hold while we've been talking about other things other than the Nelson firing and big stories, but for the most part we've talked about other things.
So just to give a quick overview of how we're going to do this thing. In segment one, first round, we're going to look at the Eastern Conference as a whole, who's been doing good work and looks like favorites, who's kind of in a precarious position,
sure,
and who's on the outside looking in that needs to make a push,
yeah,
at this vital moment. And then in segment two, last call, we're going to do the same thing, but look at the Western Conference. There is, well... we can talk about it when the Western Conference comes up.
Sure.
But to start off...
a tease.
Yeah. To start off, the top five teams currently in playoff position, you have in position one, DC United, followed by Sporting Kansas City, New England Revolution, New York Red Bulls, and Columbus Crew.
Yeah.
So looking at that, what are your general thoughts?
Well... initially, and I think we'll do this both for the East and the West, you know, a lot of the work I do is statistical analysis, and one of the most common things in statistical analysis is trying to project where standings are currently at based on how many points have been achieved and how many games remain in the season. I think it's interesting that the teams with one game left are TFC, Houston, and Chicago, or just outside of that playoff contention, and I don't know how the schedule works out, where those extra games come in. But if they're able to win those games, the race for those playoff spots will even be tighter than they currently are. Because arguably, down to Chicago, I think all teams still have a slight chance of getting in. The question becomes, and if people who follow other sports like basketball and baseball would know this, is there's magic numbers where a team will have to achieve a certain amount of success even to have a chance of getting in. Just because, you know, we've mentioned some previous pods that were based in Toronto. For an example, with Toronto, who have seven games left, you would imagine they would have to win, I would assume they would have to gain about 14 points in the remaining games. So at least win four games or, you know, come close to that, which is, you know, again, it's not saying that Toronto's out of the playoffs. It's just saying that's going to be a very difficult for them to get into the playoffs.
For me, looking at those top five teams, I think you have to give credit to DC United, the way they basically turned everything around. Last year, they were god-awful.
Yeah.
And this year, they're in first place, mainly because of their defense.
Yeah.
They have one of the better defenses in the league. I mean, the only other team that's better than them defensively in terms of goals allowed is LA Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, well, and we've talked about the last MLS show we did a sort of mid-season preview, and we gave Boswell and a lot of the credit to DC United. It's interesting, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but in my preseason projection, I had the standings as I projected them to be, and right now, 9 of the 10 playoff teams are in the playoffs, and the only one who's out of the playoffs is Toronto, who I had it very wrong, because I had Toronto first in the East, but in the order of the other teams in the East are basically in the right order. So I projected D.C. to have a success. Well, I think D.C. and Kansas City, I had them neck and neck. But I projected D.C. to have this positive season. And one team that you supported throughout the whole year, who I also thought would have a positive season, is New England.
Yes. I'm very happy with how New England's turned around what was a weird part of their season, because the last time we talked about them that I remember,
yeah, they're very up and
they
down.
Were on like some long losing streak.
Yeah.
And now they've turned that completely around, currently in third. I honestly see them making a push, and I think they can leapfrog Sporting Kansas City for that second place.
Yeah. Now, do you like Jones as an addition?
I do, just because I think he'll complement the other guys that they have. Like, okay. Lee Wynn and Kellen Rowe are two guys that...
Well,
are
that's the other interesting question. Do you think Lee Wynn should be... and people have been talking about him as a potential MVP for this season.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's been their most influential player in terms of, from an attacking sense, because you look at their forwards, they've really been relying on a rookie and Teal Bunbury, who was kind of surplus to requirements at Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's really been their midfield that's been the driving force, and he's been leading that. So, and I'm pretty sure you can pick guys who have been goal scorers, like Bradley Wright Phillips and
Robbie Keane
and all these different guys who are, if you're judging off of goals, but if you're judging off of overall play, I really think Lee Wynn is up there.
Okay. And just, because you were so strong on New England at the beginning of the season, is this how you saw the team developing? Or there's some surprises? Or is this why you were high on them?
I was surprised they went on such a long losing streak. And I'm trying to figure out throughout that losing streak, the hell's going on with them. But I did see, the light bulb came on when they played Toronto FC.
Yeah,
and I was at that game. And they won 3-0. That was how I envisioned them playing throughout the entire year.
Okay.
Not to say they were going to go undefeated.
Okay.
But that's how I envisioned them, and they didn't. They hit a rough patch, but they came out of that rough patch well. I don't think it has as much to do with Jay Heaps as it does with the quality of the players that are.
Yeah, I think the key thing about New England, and is a lesson for other teams, is that in the positions that they know they're going to have the everyday guy, that everyday guy is performing, being Gonzalez, where in positions where they might be lacking, they have a lot of options in those positions. The forwards are a great example of this, because I think they have about 6 or 7 forwards on their roster. None of them have yet to proven themselves to be the everyday guy, but because they have that depth, it certainly gives them options throughout the year.
Two teams that are interesting to look at. You have Sporting Kansas City, who you usually envision being in first and running away with things. They haven't been as consistent, certainly as last year, and maybe as they were developing their team under Peter Vermees. But I still think they're strong enough.
Yeah. I had questions, not horrible questions regarding Kansas City, because I still thought they'd be challenging for top spot in the East, and I still thought they'd be a playoff team. I didn't think they would. I think teams would adapt to their system, and for that reason, I think that they would have a more difficult time this season. But again, I think they've. I think they understand what we're going to notice about the teams that probably have secured their playoff run is they know that the MLS is about playoffs, and it's not about winning all your games in the regular season. Is about being in a good playoff position and then having the players available for that playoff run.
And the other team, just looking at the standings, it just looks way too funny and way too weird to see Houston in 8th.
Yeah, I did have Houston struggling to some capacity. Again, we talked in our I think we talked our mid-season thing and then a couple of times. Or we talked in our prospect podcast. You know, I found that Houston has been taking a lot of risks in terms of development and going forward. And so they don't have the players, you know, they lost, going back from Cameron to Hano, you know, they've lost a lot of key senior players in definite positions. Now, the interesting thing about Houston is Houston is in a better position today than they were when we did our halftime show. So arguably, I think it's too much for them to make the playoffs. But, you know, I think by the end of the year, they will look semi-respectable and at least building towards next season.
I know in terms of my predictions, when I did it with Ian and Steve at the beginning of the year, I forget how they exactly went, but I know I had Toronto and Montreal in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I didn't have Columbus or New York.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys want to get on me about that or whatever, but I'm not a guy who's convinced with New York.
Yeah, I think in my preseason projection, I had New York fourth or fifth. The one who's in now, who I had is an out, but he's a close out, is Philadelphia. It's because I had Toronto in it. I think New York is, you know, they certainly, I think New York's in a better position this season than they were last in terms of options, because I think last season Henri was the only option, and I think you can say Wright Phillips is a specific option. So I think they might be difficult in the playoffs, but again, you know, the thing with New York is they never really excite you. They never really, you think this is a great team and stuff like that, right?
And to me, it's them defensively is where I have always had concerns for the past, I don't know, 5 years, say, 4 or 5 years. They've never been a great defensive team. For all the, they'll beat a team 5-0 and then lose,
yeah,
like 5-3. Yeah. And it just...
Well, the interesting thing is this last offseason, they actually put a lot of money in their defense, but defenders that you're not really confident in, like Eckersley, who came from Toronto, right?
So that's, I think, is where we can leave the Eastern Conference.
Sure.
For now.
Yeah, I think... I still have my fingers crossed. I still think Toronto's going to get in, just for my preseason projection. And again, I think from fourth to seventh or eighth, I still think it's open. But again, if you're a team like Columbus, like TFC, like Houston, like Chicago, you got to win your next couple of games or the season's going to fall away very quickly.
So that's a look at the Eastern Conference, but let us know your thoughts. Do you think Toronto can pull it off? Are you on Team Aaron and trying to see if they can squeak into the playoffs? You can tweet us directly at Kamel Hilton and at ENB Sports. Leave a comment underneath this post on the RNO site. Hop onto the Gaffer and Hooligan Facebook page. And you can find this podcast on the War Room Sports Podcast Network and FatsRadio.com. But moving on and wrapping the show up with segment two, looking at the Western Conference. What I was alluding to at the beginning of the pod that I didn't mention before that I saved was Seattle Sounders have already clinched
the playoffs.
So you can put them to one side. But I guess
their interesting thing is their battle for first, right, with the LA Galaxy, who is very close behind them. But
yeah, that's the one thing I was going to say, if you were to bring them up, is do you think they're going to finish in first, or do you think LA will overtake them?
Well, the interesting thing with Seattle, just in, you know, not player for player, but just in their standings and the games they play, is number one, they're averaging 2 points per game, meaning they have played 54 points in 27 games, which is a very high number, and it's hardly ever happened in the past in MLS. And the other thing interesting, which is always the case in soccer, is how little draws they've had, right? If you look at Seattle and Chicago, actually have the same amount of losses this season. Yeah, Chicago is basically out of the playoffs in the East because of how many draws they have, and Seattle is basically in it because of how many wins they have and lack of draws. So it just says to you that winning, you know, and we didn't mention it in the Eastern thing, but, you know, losing that 2 points that Toronto did to Chicago at the end of that game could be very costly in terms of them making it to the playoffs, that you have to win your games. That's the most important thing.
In terms of a surprise team for me, trying to recollect what my preseason prediction was I did not have FC Dallas in the top five.
Okay.
I had San Jose Earthquake.
Yeah.
I think in fifth or in fourth or something.
Okay, okay.
Which, because I was high on Mark Watson. I remember that. I was very high on Mark Watson.
Canadian passion.
And that didn't seem to work out.
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of my projections, I think the fact that Seattle, LA, and Real Salt Lake are showing themselves to be the best team in this league says a lot, right? Because going into the season, I had them as the top three teams. I still think the LA Galaxy, because of their connection to youth and some of the senior players they brought in, I still think they're favorite. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. In terms of getting into the playoffs, I think I did have Dallas into the playoffs. I had Portland in the playoffs. I did think Portland was going to struggle this year compared to last season, but I did also have them in the playoff. And I had Vancouver just missing out. Now, arguably, that's still the case. I noticed that Vancouver right now are in a playoff position, but if you look at how they've been playing and their overall record, you know, it's very, you know, I don't have much security in them of holding off.
They always seem like a team that's hovering in that 4, 5, 6, you know, wild card
type
of position. I would really love for them to hit some kind of form and at least, like, not be a wild card team, but just looking at the standings, that looks impossible.
Yeah, well, this season. I think this season, you know, we talked about it, but outside of Morales, who's certainly been a key player for them, I think currently has 8 goals and 10 assists. I think he's shown his worth. I think the other questions still remain a question, and that was, and predominantly the biggest question is their up front. You know, is Maddox, can Maddox turn into that player and be an everyday goal scorer? And then the other decisions Vancouver's made in terms of other strikers have been very poor. And that's the reason why I had them predicted where I did, and I had them struggling to score goals, and they're showing that throughout the season.
Generally, I think this conference has been chalk. I mean, it's pretty straightforward in terms of
who's
going to make it. No, I had them in 7th, and they're in last, so whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of just trying to think in my head in terms of playoff matchups.
Yeah.
Just looking at how they are now.
Before you do that, can I ask you just a random question?
Okay,
I think it's interesting. If some of these Western clubs were in the East, do you think they would be much stronger? Like, do you think Colorado is as good as Eastern teams? Do you think Vancouver is as good as some Eastern teams? Do you think, because I know in the NBA and in other sports, there seems to be this Western bias where the West is dominating the East. And do you think with the MLS, do you think there's more parity, or do you think some of the Western teams are unlucky by being in the West?
I would lean towards they're unlucky being in the Western Conference. I think they're in the, like, if Vancouver was in the, and you can't even look at these numbers.
Yeah, because the schedule would be
just looking at it.
Yeah.
If you were to put Vancouver in the Eastern Conference, like, to me, they're better than Montreal, they're better than Chicago. I think they have better options than Philadelphia.
Well, and then, sorry to interrupt you, but this is another question, since this is on Red Nation Online. The big debate, Vancouver or Toronto, who's a better team?
Oh, Vancouver.
Okay.
Vancouver, without question to me.
Yeah.
I just think Carl Robinson has the team play. Are you talking in terms of overall team?
Well, I'm saying if you won the lottery tomorrow and you could get one, would you rather have, minus the stadium, minus the support, minus the city, would you rather, just the team, would you rather have, you can move them to Brampton, would you rather have Toronto, or would you rather have...
I'm going with the Brampton Whitecaps.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Vancouver there. The way Toronto's constructed is, they're good, but I just think the overall attacking options that Vancouver has, now I would work on their defense. If I was playing GM, I'd work on their defending, and I would ship out Usted back to wherever the hell he's from.
Okay.
Or Denmark. I'd ship him back to Denmark and get a better keeper.
Yeah.
But they have a better, in terms of options and in terms of just construct of the team, I'd lean back.
So the interesting thing is, one of the things I brought up this question is because I do think that they're very even. And so, you know, for Twitter followers and people who are listening to this, you know, we'd love to get a debate going because I think it'd be a very interesting debate. The irony is I think Houston's better than Vancouver. And I might think Vancouver's defense is better than Toronto's defense, right? I think where Toronto might outdo Vancouver is what you expect from Bradley, what you expect from Gilberto, certainly if Defoe returns, but that's, you know, still in question, is the better players on Toronto better than the better players on Vancouver. And going into the season, that might have been one question standing now. That might be another question. But, yeah, I just think it's an interesting debate because I do think they're very equal in terms of what they can provide.
I think Toronto has the better stars
yeah.
in terms of Vancouver does not have a
job. Although, ironically, if you add the statistics of the Toronto DPs, they probably are less than what Morales has done individually with Vancouver. As I said, he scored 8 goals and 10 assists, right? So arguably you could say Morales is almost doing better than the 3 DPs on Toronto. Now the question is Vancouver, I believe Rosales is a DP. So Vancouver got another DP that we haven't mentioned. And what do you think of him joining, since you're Chivas love, what do you think of him joining Vancouver and how do you think impact that will have going for the playoff run in the playoffs?
He's a veteran presence, so I think that'll help in terms of navigating a potential playoff run. But really, this team sticking point is the wild card.
Yeah.
So he at least gives them another creative option to go with. And it just makes them a little more dynamic. So I like it. I don't know if he's on super high wages or like...
I think he's just at the minimum wage of a DP.
So it's a low-risk option for them.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I think we can wrap up the show here.
Okay.
But again, let us know your thoughts. You can tweet us directly at Kamel Hilton and at ENB Sports. Leave a comment underneath this post on the RNO site. Hop onto the Gaffer and Hooligan Facebook page and find this podcast on the War Room Sports Podcast Network and FatsRadio.com. Also, be sure to check out our other brands of podcasts within the RNO family. You have Eastside Stand Up with Ian Clark, has you covered for all things TFC. Steve Botcher provides the RNO interview series with key figures within the game. The boys at From the Black Hole, Rob, Jeff, and Lars, bring their unique style of coverage to Canadian soccer. You have Ours is the Fury podcast on everything NASL and Ottawa Fury. And we have a newest addition to the podcast family, the Footy Roundup with Rob and Matt.
Yeah.
And they give you a overall look at Europe and like MLS.
Yeah, I was just going to say that relating to the MLS, is I have a couple articles on RNO. I recently had one regarding the USL Pro this season, but the talk of Canadian teams joining USL Pro and following the LA Galaxy is the LA Galaxy 2. Montreal's already made that decision. They're starting a team next year called FC Montreal. And Vancouver, although they did not get the rights for a stadium, are still in the market, and maybe even Toronto, for running a two team. So I just basically looked into that and what teams need to do if they want to be successful doing that and how it can benefit the MLS club.
So look for those on RNO as well as all those podcasts. But I think we're going to wrap things up here. And until next time, guys, cheers.
Cheers.